From Mark's Gospel in chapter 10, verse 17 and following, as Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I've kept all of these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is for those to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. We begin this gospel reading today as a continuation of a journey that Jesus is making with friends and disciples, and the journey that many of us who know the rest of the story is on the way to Jerusalem, toward Calvary, the cross, the rejection, the denial, the death, but yes, ultimately, the resurrection. Jesus knows where he's headed. And in this journey, he invites those who will to follow with him. And if you'll remember last week, we heard that this story began by Jesus proclaiming in word and saying to his disciples, the way to get where I'm going, the way to embrace God's love forever in heaven and see his kingdom come is to receive it as a little child. Jesus proclaims and makes it clear. It's not what we do to embrace life through our Lord, but it's simply embracing what he's done for us. That was the message that Jesus proclaimed to the multitude, to the crowds gathered. But yet, even as they heard this message, there was still one exemplified in our text today. Perhaps he represents the opinion of the many who simply raise this question in their hearts and in their minds: can it really be that easy? And so we hear this exchange today where the rich man approaches Jesus and asks him the question, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus begins this journey by proclaiming to him that, friends, more than anything else, an inheritance is not anything we work to achieve as much as it is a gift, something bestowed upon us. You know, I think of a family inheritance. Last night we gathered at my parents' home and we had little great-granddaughter Lucy there for my parents, my great-niece, and someone made the comment that Lucy looks amazingly like her big daddy did when he was 2 years old, her big daddy being my brother Mickey. They had a picture of him and a picture of her. And there was an uncanny resemblance. You see, we know the story that Lucy inherited that look from her family. It's something that is gifted to us. We don't do anything, friends, to earn an inheritance. It's part of who we are. When we are part of the family, we are gifted with love from those who've gone before us. And Jesus uses this very word to turn upside down the understanding of the faith community of how we inherit God's blessings to us. It's not in what we do. It's in who we are. His children, His family, that He claims us as His forever. That's the message Jesus has just proclaimed. And into that proclamation rises this question from the rich man. Can it really be that simple? What must I do? He asked the Lord. And Jesus, obliging him in his petition of faith, tells him exactly what he must do if he wishes to enter the kingdom of heaven. We hear this narrative where the rich man tells him everything that he has done. I've honored my father and mother. I've embraced the commandment. I've not killed. I've not committed adultery. I've not bared false witness. I've not coveted those things of others. And Jesus said, for you to do the things worthy of eternity, you must give it all. You must never sin again. Not in commission, but as Jesus proclaims here in our text today, but also not in omission. Don't fail to love the world around you and everything you do. If you have any wealth, sell it all, give it all, and never embrace sin again. That's what you have to do, young man, to receive the gift of glory. And our scripture tells us he left there grieving. And before his grief, there was shock. He had embraced the Jewish faith. He had embraced the law to the letter. But yet, as he hears in this message today, even that was not enough. His works in the words of our modern day faith became crystal clear to him that his works could not save him. But as we consider this text today, I think it's important, even in the midst of us proclaiming salvation through grace, even as we understand and embrace it's not what we do, but it's what's been done for us. May we still hear the call to faith to embrace the gift that Jesus offers to his friends, the gift to follow him. Wow. You see, that's what's going on in our text today. This rich man has embraced the faith, and it says that Jesus loved him. He felt affection for him. He knew he was a person of faith. And Jesus, in saying throughout this text, he says it's important to give. To give of yourselves. To give for others. That's the message. It's not that Jesus is saying that is unimportant when he says of the man to give everything you have. Jesus is saying there is a gift in living outside of self that we can't know if we focus only on ourselves. You know, we spoke of gift giving during birthdays in our family and how it is joyful to receive a gift. But haven't all of us seen the glimmer even in a child's eye when they can present a gift to another? Even at the youngest age, children begin to get it. There is joy in giving of self. And you know there's even more joy when it costs you something, when you have to exert something, when you have to sacrifice, when you have to do without so you can do for others. Jesus is saying, friends, I call you to embody this call to faith because there is joy in living outside of self, in giving for those around me for the glory of my Father in heaven. You see, that's the call of faith that Jesus is practicing and proclaiming as He's journeying toward the cross of Calvary. He will make the ultimate gift for all who will embrace and receive His love forever. That's the promise that He's preaching now and He will practice on Calvary. Our scripture also speaks to us where Jesus makes this complicating statement where He says those who give of themselves, those who sacrifice for my sake, those who've left their jobs, those who've left the comfort of home, He says, that you will receive a hundredfold in this life. In other words, Jesus says there are blessings even now when we walk in the ways of our Lord and we follow our Savior, Jesus Christ. There are blessings in heaven, He would say. And the life to come, you will know treasures in heaven if you give of yourselves, He says in our text today, and there will be joy even now. You see, we find that complicating, where our Lord proclaims, what we do in this life, dear friends, does matter. There are treasures in heaven based upon what we do in this life. We hear it preached of about the sheep and the goats. We hear it in this text today where Jesus said, if you were to give everything, you would have treasure in heaven. And Jesus says here, if you give of yourself, if you know sacrifice, if you're willing to leave home, if you're willing to leave and do without, then you will know a hundredfold more of blessings. You see, He's saying, as He celebrates the gifts of the rich man, there are blessings in practicing the faith. But practicing the faith doesn't give us the gift of life. Only by claiming that gift, receiving that gift from Jesus Christ our Lord, can we share in His love forever. In the words of Paul, where he says in the letter to the church in Ephesus in chapter 2, he says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works. Our works don't save us, Paul says, but because we are saved, we want to work. In other words, we do good. We practice the faith, friends, not to get God to love us. We practice the faith because God does love us. There is blessing. There is joy. Think about it this way. This week I shared a devotion with the Faulkner High School football team. And during that time that I shared with them, we talked about the gift of teamwork. As Stan would share with his baseball team when he's coaching them, if we work together, we can accomplish greatness together. And in the midst of their hard work that day, they were sweating, they were tired, they were exhausted from practice. Who would go through such tribulation together? Only these. Only these who know the joy of hard work and the accomplishment of victory. You see, friends, it's even more true in our faith. If we will do the work of our Lord, we will know the joy of gathering with Him and proclaiming His glory and goodness for all the world to see. But you know what else I'm challenged by in our text today? That Jesus doesn't just say, as His followers, will we know glory? Will we know joy? He also says this troubling word, you will know persecutions. You'll know challenges. In other words, I think our Lord is saying, following me does not help you escape this world's troubles, but it does help you endure the troubles with more grace, more love, and more strength. You know what I think the Lord is saying to us? That when we choose to follow Him, Robert, our joy is greater, 100-fold, and our peril is lesser. Because He comforts us. He sustains us. He strengthens us. So we join together as the church, and we know the joy of journeying in faith together. Because when we join together and journey together, our joys are indeed greater, our perils are indeed lesser. You know, I'm mindful of the story of the preacher who decided he was going to play hooky one Sunday. So in his effort to play hooky, he called up his associate pastor and said, you know, I'm not feeling real good today. My voice is a little straggly. I think I'm going to stay in. And the associate obliged. He always was ready to preach. He said, I'll do so. So the preacher went out of town 40 miles to play golf all by himself. All by himself, the only one on the course, and he shows up to play. And our Father in heaven and Jesus were looking down, and Jesus asked him, he said, are you going to let him away with this? And the Lord said, just wait. Very first hole, the preacher gets up there, hits the drive of his life. Over 300 yards, it bounces once and then rolls directly into the hole, a hole in one. Jesus said, I thought you weren't going to let him get away with this. That's the best shot he's ever had in his life. It was a hole in one. And the Father said, yeah, it was, but who's he going to tell? Friends, when we are a part of the faith community, when we embrace the call to follow our Lord, our joy is greater because we get to tell it to others, and our peril is lesser because they shoulder the journey with us. Our Lord said, it is impossible for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. But let's be honest, don't we all have wealth? Sure, some of us have a little more than others. But in the context of Jesus preaching this sermon today, friends, we all are considered rich. And Jesus said, it's impossible for you to receive the gift unless you receive the gift. For you see, what made the journey to heaven that was impossible possible was the rest of this story. When it happens a few weeks later, when Jesus gathers in a garden to pray, and he utters in the depths of prayer and torment of soul dying, when he says, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And yet it was impossible, Vince. It was impossible for me to know life. It was impossible, Geneva, for you to be set free. It was impossible, Benton, for you to be restored without Christ tasting death for you and me to give us the impossible dream. Amen. Friends, let's